to Panderbox. A review podcast run by the team here at Mad Artists. And we, this week, I'm not going to say every week because we're not going to do it every week, but we're going to certainly try. This time, we watched Samuel's pick, Master and Commander.
Yes.
So, my name is Danielle, and here are the Mad Artists and guests that I have with me to talk about this.
It's so many of us. Hi, it's Samuel.
Hi, it's John.
Hi, it's Mimi.
What's up? It's Colton.
It's Russell, of course, back.
And it's me back, Tyler.
With Sam Marie also in the room in the corner.
Say words.
Hiding far away from the mic.
Hello!
You're not near the mic. Shh. And also Rizzo, she's now going to be on all the podcasts.
Yes.
If you want to hear her thoughts on Andor, go listen to that episode.
Yes, she had many. Well, Samuel, you put this in the hat. Why did you do that?
Because it's a good movie. Next. No,
thanks for tuning in, guys. Yes. We'll see you next week.
This is a movie I have loved for years. My dad showed it to me when I was like probably 10 or 11, and ever since I saw it, it's been one of my favorite movies. I absolutely adore it, and there we go.
Had anyone else seen this before, like, aside from me?
No.
John, you've seen this.
I showed it to Danielle and John like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
A little housewarming party.
But nobody else had? Had y'all even heard of this?
It had been on my list. I'd been told to watch it by like 10 different people and never did. But now I have.
Congratulations.
The only person I had heard about it from was Samuel.
Well, of course, because it's all he talks about. That and baseball.
Master and
baseball. That's Samuel's personality.
Yeah, he doesn't have any other things that he likes.
Nothing else.
I was about to say, meanwhile, go listen to all our Star Wars episodes. Go listen to Andor.
Because Samuel is surprisingly disinterested thinking about Master and Commander.
Man, this is going to be a long trip.
Well, I kind of just want to go around and hear just what everybody thought about this. Because for anyone who hasn't been on this episode, on these episodes so far, so Russell, who hasn't been on this before.
Real quick, can I get our director?
Yeah, you can. I was trying to tell him something and then you interrupted me. Thank you, sir.
I'm under the blank.
Thank you.
Content.
Clipping.
But basically what we do, what we're doing on these, Russell, is we're just going around and literally just like saying our thoughts. We're not going through the plot. We're not doing anything like that. Just how we felt about it. And then we'll rate it at the end.
Cool.
Yeah. So super, super laid back.
Fantastic.
Now, Samuel, would you like to talk?
So our director is Peter Weir. And his earlier films I had not heard of at all until 1989.
So you weren't aware of his films?
No, I was
not.
He has directed two other movies, which I know everybody will react very strongly to. Future Banner Box movie, Dead Poets Society. As well as past Banner Box movie, The Truman Show.
Hold up. We got a good director on our hands.
Yes.
Just a second,
yes.
Guys.
A regular Wes Anderson.
We have a very good director on our hands.
Wow.
Soon as I looked at that, my eyes like, No, that's awesome. And that tracks. I can't wait for Tyler to watch Dead Poets Society. It's going to be fantastic.
You've never seen it?
No, he's never seen it.
I am uncultured.
He's going to sob like a baby.
Yes, as everyone does when they watch Dead Poets Society.
So good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, just kind of going around, whoever wants to go first, whether it was rewatchers or new watchers, how'd you guys feel about this one?
Huh.
Let's hear from the new people first.
Yeah, okay.
Please, I think it'd be fun.
Okay, you know what? I'll start it.
Call me some brave.
So, it does one thing very well that I really, really like. I am a big sucker for realism in movies, and I love how realistic the dialogue was. A lot of the word usage and kind of demeanor and tonality of the dialogue was very realistic to sailors, which is super cool. And on top of that, there was a lot of stuff that was just very, very small attention to detail, like the oil on the whetstone, the sharpening stone, was very cool. You don't see that a lot in movies and stuff like that. On top of that, in the big final fight scene, him having one of his soldiers or sailors douse the primer on the cannon, that was super cool too. So overall, very, very good movie. And I was saying it to Samuel before, it gives me very big The Patriot energy. If you've ever seen The Patriot, it is very similar in tone and mood. It's a very, very good movie. I enjoyed it. Good pick, Samuel.
Whichever of the newbies has to go.
I am also one of the people who have not seen this, and it was very, very good. It had a lot of good character work. I feel like, I don't want to mimic what Colton said, but the realism did really stand out to me. As a former ship captain, I can attest to the realism in the both the verbiage and in how they did naval combat.
Are you familiar?
Yeah,
he familiar. Played Battleship all the time. Yeah,
I played Battleship, and I also was the captain of a battleship. So, no,
angry pirate.
No, it was really cool. It was something that as soon as I kind of realized, oh, we're gonna be on the boat the whole time, I was really interested to see how they would do that kind of static environment and give it. Because it was, what, 2 hours and 15 minutes runtime?
Yep.
So that's a long time to be in the same spot. And they went on the Galapagos, you know, once, but once. And so outside of that, I mean, to have a very limited range of environments and still be engaging with a good forward-moving momentum, I thought was really good. It had a big ensemble that I thought got all their moments to shine. And the combat was really, really fun and engaging. And it wasn't some big, even the close quarters, like melee stuff, was not this big, sweeping, swashbuckling, have at the kind of thing. It was just people rushing at each other, trying to kill one another, which I actually really respected. So it was very engaging, and I enjoyed it.
Well, and that's what this movie does so well.
Thank you, Rizzo.
Be quiet.
That's what this movie does so well. It's one of the things I love so much about it, is it... Yes, it's a great character piece. The everything with Captain Jack and the Doctor, just all the character work is so amazing. And the story is engaging, and you know it's got a lot of really good plot to it. But what it does almost better than anything else is just set an ambiance for like 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Like it makes you feel like you know exactly what it would be like to live on a ship. And it's absolutely brilliant. You know, you were talking about all the realism, and all part of that is because they filmed most of this movie at sea.
Did they really? Cool.
Really?
That's super cool.
How about that?
Yep. So
that's insane.
It's
really cool.
It had a pretty big budget, and they filmed on location. They filmed on the Galapagos.
Did they really?
Yep, they filmed at sea, and then of course all the wide shots and all they did. They built a big tank and did miniature ships and all.
That's so funny.
The ocean battle scenes and all.
But before I forget, something that I found really funny is I'm sitting here thinking about what I'm going to say on the podcast as I'm watching it, and I had this bit that I was going to do about, like, you know, it was a good movie and all, but with all these pirate ship-esque boats, not a single person said arg. And then when the kid was drawing the stills and said arg, I was like, this movie's in my head. Proving me wrong at every turn.
There's
well
something for everyone, Tyler. Yes. What about you, Russell?
This movie's dialogue was absolutely unbelievably on point. I mean, every single time that any character was speaking, there was such good intention and such good, like, activity with, like, all of the acting. Like, I mean, everybody just blew it out of the water with, like, how, like, amazing, like, they were doing and, like, unique characters and just so cool. And like Colton said, like, so much of the realism just, like, draws you in. And you really feel, like, that vibe. Like, as soon as, like, the energy, like, is shifting, it's, like, the movie's so good at like, directing that and really showing you, like, where it's trying to go. It's so awesome. And then...
Thank you, Rizzo.
Thank you. And then not to mention just, I mean, Russell Crowe is just so awesome. And I don't know what was going on with that, like, the previous, like, captain, like, that he had, like, sailed with it. Like, did I miss something there?
So, Lord Nelson is actually a historical figure.
Yeah.
Who was one of the most successful naval generals of all time, legend in English history and all of that.
Fun fact, there are several monuments to him in London. Mm-hmm. Like, there's one in Edinburgh that has, like, his last words on it, and it's a massive statue of him. So, like,
also, fun
person.
Fact, the off-brand rum to Captain Morgan that is on one shelf below is Admiral Nelson. I'm not kidding, that's a real thing, and every time I see it, it brings me joy.
Lord Nelson is to England what, like, John Paul Jones is to America.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler knows who that is.
Of course I can. I tell do. By the profound sailor-like look in his eyes. All his years of experience.
Sailor-like look. If there's one thing they teach you in the Naval Academy, it's about John Paul Jones. So I know about him.
I really enjoyed the movie. I thought that, like, it had so many powerful, like, emotional, like, moments in it. And the other moments, where somebody would say something and it would just, like make you laugh. And it was just every time somebody spoke, I was just like there's so much plot-driven attention. It's amazing.
Well, and just the way that all of the plot connects constantly. I know Mimi still got to talk, but I'm going to talk instead. No. But just, like, the way that all of the little plot hooks connect into each other, everything with, like, the Jonah storyline, that they start from, like, moment one and then just slowly builds to this crescendo in the middle of the movie, and you know, everything from the freaking, you know, they find the Galapagos beetle and it's all like, oh, you know, you could walk for however long, you know, on the island and never find it. Mm-hmm. And they're talking the whole time about how you can sail forever and never find this boat in the middle of the ocean, and then he walks on the island and finds the beetle and finds the boat, and it's just like,
it's so brilliant.
It's incredible. It's very good.
Well, Mimi, how did you feel about it?
It was good. I love a good movie about...
I love a good movie.
Thank you. I do. I do love a good movie.
Man,
I'm a sucker for, like, movies that are about friendship and versus duty, in a way, of, like, how they both were chasing their own phantom and how they constantly were coming to terms with, do I choose my friendship over the duty I have to my men or my country or my phantom, and also showing, like, what you're willing to pay for the cost of reaching your phantom.
Subject to the requirements of the service.
Yeah. So I thought it was really great. I definitely could see how, if you watched it without really paying attention to detail or kind of with a good attitude about it, you could miss a lot of really important things.
You gotta
you gotta really pay attention and be willing to go on for the ride. So, but worth going. And for, you know, all the people that kind of, people on the cast, there's so many people that you're like, oh crap, like I know that person from, you know, Lord of the Rings, mm-hmm. or Vampire Diaries fans, you know, he's and on Lee. There. And then also, you know, just in future stuff. Like, there's so many people who make, like, little cameos who are like, what? I know that person. So, yeah, definitely worth watching.
Also, can we just take a moment to talk about the insane amount of jump cuts in this movie? Wowzer.
Yeah.
Shows a lot of the age in it with how many jump cuts there are.
Yeah.
But none of them are ridiculously jarring like a lot of movies from that time period are, except for the combat, and that's intentional.
Well, I was saying that's super intentional because it's trying to make you feel overwhelmed.
Absolutely. Yeah, and claustrophobic. Yeah. And another thing, too, that I'll mention is this movie does not work if they don't show you scenes where the crew is having fun and actually enjoying each other's company.
Absolutely.
If this was just, like, grog and work and you know, bust your ass, like, if it's just that, this movie becomes really, really painful really quick. And small things like having them work double time to try and, like, get the ship into the fog, and then having that after part where all of the leadership says, good job, like, we're really proud of you, like, this is what you get for it. Like, a lot of movies, I feel like, this is a huge pet peeve that I've talked about on the show before, which is, say thank you when things happen. And movies don't do that. People will be like, yeah, I just saved your life. And they'll just, like, nod and they'll walk away. And it's like, say thank you. and that bothers me a lot. Even for, like, the small things bother me more than the big things do. And so the fact that they were actually, like open about, like, hey, you worked really hard. Good job. It's it, like, you don't see that enough. And that just made me very happy.
Yes. You opened your mouth like you were going to say something.
Did I?
Yeah. you did, like...
Oh.
And then just settled and did nothing.
Don't worry about it.
No, as a rewatcher, so this is something that I have, like, maybe mentioned before that I kind of consider a little bit of a superpower, but you could also look at it as a curse. I have trouble remembering things that I've watched and read, especially if I've only watched or read it once. And this movie, like, I remembered I liked it a lot, and I remembered that Paul Bettany went to the Galapagos. That's it. And I knew Russell Crowe was in it. Nothing else. I remembered absolutely nothing. And as it's all happening, I'm like, oh yeah, that I guess that is like the plot of the movie. But for me, the plot was the Galapagos because that's what like stuck in my brain. Mm-hmm. So rewatching it again, I also think I followed it better this time. Mm-hmm. I feel like I asked a lot more questions when we watched it before, and low-key, I feel like the reason I was able to keep up a little better is because I just did Shakespeare, and so their heightened language, I was able to like translate a little bit better. But no, this is a really good movie, and I love that this is a, like, obviously it's not, because it's not a true story, yes?
No, so it's actually based on a very long-running series of books.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep, yep, super, I got one of them in there. But super long series of books that was very popular, I think in, like, the 80s and 90s. And so I think they were intending on making a franchise out of this, but I don't think it did well enough financially. Yeah.
Books. So. Are these things, Tyler, that where they have pages that they bind together that tell a story?
Where do the pictures go?
On the front.
What am I supposed to do with the written? Jeez, guys. I didn't teach us how to read in Naval Academy. I know how to read the stars, all right?
Sorry, go ahead. I was just going to ask what everybody thought about the Jonah storyline.
Okay, I didn't like that part.
I knew you weren't gonna like
it. Of course I didn't, because they did, like, they're just like, yeah, the guy thinks he's cursed. He's like, I'm having a panic attack because I think I'm cursed. And they're just like, yep, you're super cursed, and you're breaking everything, and then he kills himself. And I'm like, oh, that's bad. And they're like, but don't worry, because the wind's back. And I'm like, you did, ha!
Well, but here's the thing.
Suicide is badass? Is that what you're saying?
There is a reason why sailors are so superstitious.
Yes. Because it's true.
It's just because...
Get off the boat.
So many coincidences happen with stuff like this, where, like, suddenly something, like, it changes something, and now everything's good again. Or a person's gone, and now everything's good again. Like, there's a reason that they're so superstitious, and I thought it was honestly an interesting subplot to, like, see, especially when morale is kind of low, just how intense that superstition can, like, run in a crew.
And just showing how a crew works, you know, again, from so early in the movie, you see Hollum being good at his job, but being very, very hesitant, and the whole crew picking up on that.
Yeah.
You see him trying to sing along with the crew, and that's not something the officers do, and so the whole crew is like, okay, what's he doing? Like, is he trying to show us up? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
He's just trying to have a good time, but just, you know, emphasizing so much, and of course, then, you know, Captain Jack just, you know, lays it all out there for him in the cabin, but it's all stuff that it's not just, okay, we see this incident happen and then, you know, Russell Crowe exposits on it, or whatever the... Yeah, that's the right word. it's something that you see all the buildup of from moment one. And, of course, it's super horrific and tragic, but just showing, you know, a lot of sailors, especially with a superstition, they are went crazy. Mm-hmm. And I think it was super important, if they're really trying to capture naval life back in the day, to show that storyline and to show that, you know, there wasn't a lot of grace.
No.
It was, you're having a panic attack, even the captain thinks you're cursed now.
Well, yeah, that moment, I feel like, mirrored with the Paul Bettany almost the anarchy argument that he has, where he's like, you don't have to do all this, and he's like, yes, I do, because we have to run a really tight ship or else everything's going to fall apart. There are too many men and they're all superstitious and they're all going to become insubordinate if, you know, consequences aren't had. So, like, his almost, like, kind of anarchy desire met with the captain's superstition shows, like, I don't know. I love that personally, just because it shows, like, the flaws in both people and, like, how they kind of view everything. Because that was another thing, the line about, like, not everything is in your books. And Paul Bettany's just, like, resigned expression of, like, I don't even... what do I do with this? Like,
if I had a week, I couldn't explain to you why.
Yeah.
That's yeah. such an interesting thing, too, because it's never expressly stated, but it's very clearly a kind of like relationship of faith versus science, where very clearly the captain is a highly religious man, and the doctor is much less so. He's never shown in really any of the scenes where any prayer is being said. I think he gets a passing shot one time at the very end.
Well, he does have a conversation with Blakeney really
right,
early
but he
on.
Even questions it in that conversation.
And it's a very interesting dynamic, especially in a time where being non-religious was not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a thing at all. You were fighting for whatever God your country believes
in. We were in hiding. Just kidding. random subplot. Does theater crews have weird superstitions?
Oh my
totally
yes.
do.
Do you guys also be like, get off, get off,
get off the stage.
So there, if you say Macbeth inside a theater, I have known so many people to then send the person outside and have to do like a little like ritual of like good luck before they can come back in.
Yeah. Well, if I may piggyback off that, one of the coolest things about that is that it's specifically referencing the play Macbeth.
Yeah.
But you can say the character's name Macbeth.
Yes.
And here's why that's really, really interesting. And this is a bit of a non sequitur, but in Hamilton, when
I knew it. Sorry. As soon as you started talking, I knew you were going to bring it around to the Hamilton. Because
it's so cool. It's such a good lyricism. So like Hamilton, when he's talking to his wife, quotes Hamlet. Or that boop beep reset. Pick up when he's quoting Macbeth. When he's quoting Macbeth, he mentions the Scottish tragedy, which is how you refer to Macbeth in a theater. You say the Scottish tragedy. Strategy. Stay with it. Man, life on the sea really does one to you. And so he says that, and he goes, they think me Macbeth, and he's referencing the person. It was really cool. Whoa. Guys, thanks for tuning in to this little detailed diatribe.
Wow. That's the other thing. If you say Macbeth in the theater, I'm pretty sure the punishment is drowning.
The punishment is drowning and being cursed to not speak on a podcast. So,
back to Master and Commander.
Yes. But to answer your question, Mimi, yes, there is 100% superstition.
I do. One of the coolest things is I didn't catch up the first couple of times I watched it, because it's just kind of a little throwaway line, but it informs the rest of the relationship between the Doctor and Captain Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Is so early on when after the first encounter, when they keep following him, and you know the doctor says something about, well, you know, if it's your orders, it's your orders, and he's all like, oh no, I exceeded my orders a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which then informs the rest of the movie of why the doctor is so willing to call him out and be like, this is your pride, this is not actually your duty. Mm-hmm. Like, you keep saying it's your duty, it's your not, it's not, because they didn't have to do any of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which puts it in such a weird scope, especially when you remember this is during the whole Napoleon thing.
Yeah.
One ship isn't going to make a difference in this war. That's a big deal. Like, it makes the whole movie seem a little bit different, which is such a cool point.
Yeah. Well, and it's just, for me, I know speaking for me, if it was their orders
mm-hmm.
to follow it until you capture it,
yeah.
then, you know, the doctor's kind of being a jackass and, like, you knew what you signed up for, get with the program.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the fact that they so far exceeded their orders actually makes it a question of who's right here. I don't know. Like,
wait, walk that by me again. I thought their orders were to take the ship.
Follow it to Brazil, and if you can.
Oh. And they followed it.
And
to
they
Brazil.
Followed it to Brazil, and then they followed it all the way down the coast of South America, around the Tierra del Fuego.
And
Galapagos Island is in the Pacific Ocean on the west side of South America. They followed him way past what they had to. And very early on in the movie, Captain Aubrey says that.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Which is just, I don't know. I also just love the dynamic of putting, you know, two people with such strong, like, differing beliefs being friends in this, like, older time, you
mm-hmm.
know? Because I feel like now, like, that's becoming a bit more common. But I know even just, like, I feel like, you know, 10 years ago, I feel like it was a lot less so, where, you know, it was almost like you just, and not that you would start fights, but just you wouldn't necessarily affiliate. And so seeing that a little further back, I just find very interesting.
Yes.
We can't gloss over the I'm going to do it myself
scene.
We can't gloss over it.
I had to contain myself. That scene is so amazing and wonderful, and Paul Bettany sells that scene
so well. His acting really does. Phenomenal.
Oh, my God.
It's so good.
Paul Bettany just kills that scene, and it's just such an amazingly alpha line to just be like, no, I'm going to do this myself.
Well, because he looks at the other doctor, and he's like, If I'm going to live, I'm going to do this myself. Give me a mirror and give me the tools.
The only one capable of doing it is me. Yeah. Right? Like, that's the craziest part. And, you know, I think it also helped, too, that the captain brought him onto dry land where it's stable, where he has the best shot at this. And he's like, I'm going to take the shot and make it mean something. Also, he got shot in the most feels bad way. As he's over here, I was like, ooh, let me look at the bird, and some idiot's just like, I'm gonna shoot that bird. Well, bam! And Paul Bettany's like, you just shot me. Oh my God, I cannot believe I'm gonna die over
this. The symbolism with that is that, I'm so sorry, John, you haven't talked yet.
No, I mean, I was gonna go off that tangent too, is that the albatross is symbolically like very bad luck on ships.
Yeah.
So like, the fact that you, like, the moment he opens his mouth and says, it's an albatross, and gets shot, the symbolism there is very, very potent.
Yeah.
And again, it further plays into the nautical, what's it called? Nautical superstition.
Yeah.
That's what I was going for.
No, the first time I saw it, that was what stuck out to me the most, just because I really like symbolism and things. So it being an albatross is really cool. But no, that whole scene of him, because it's so brutal and it's so drawn out, and you get to see Captain Aubrey really struggling to do what his friend needs him to do after being like, oh, I got this, and then sitting there just like, this is awful. Oh my gosh, it's just, I'm obsessed with that scene. It's so good.
Those small human moments really, really are what brings so much life to the movie, right? Because lesser movies would have just had the captain be awesome and stoic and badass because that's who I am. But they're showing you this guy who has proven time and again he has the constitution for anything. And then he's sitting here as surgery is taking place, as surgery is taking place, and he's getting squeamish as well, which is just... It's just small things like that really sell it. What was that, John? What were you saying?
Words. Can we also just talk about how did that other doctor even get on the ship? That man said, let me look at this guy's books for 5 seconds.
He wasn't and a...
He's not assistant. A
doctor. He's not a doctor.
No. I thought he was an assistant of some kind.
He was a shipmate or a crewmate who was designated to help the doctor. He had no medical training.
He was an assistant.
But it's not like a trained assistant, like hand me this, hand me that.
Yes.
But I don't know anything.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
He's probably never touched a scalpel other than to hand it to the doctor in his life.
No, when he goes, all right, so you can do this, right? And he's like, yeah, I just need to look at some of his books, and you see the captain's face just like stop and be like, you need to look at his books? This is my friend. You are not going to just, like, jam a knife in his stomach if you don't know what's going on.
What have you been doing while I've asked you to help the doctors?
And then he's sitting there drinking, too, while he's... and they're on a, like, tossing ship. And I'm like, this could not get worse.
Which then leads so well... Which then leads so well to the end with the doctor being like, yeah, that other ship is screwed. All I have is Higgins.
To be fair, if I was on a ship in the 1800s, and they asked me to do surgery, and I had no experience, I'd be drinking too.
Yes, that was a relatable
moment.
That
is very fair. Yeah. No, and then I have always loved the double cross of the double cross moment, where like you finally figure out they're all settled. Ah, everything's good. We're all fine. Yeah, you know they have the other doctor, and he's like, that other doctor died, and he's like, oh my God.
Well, and I love even the small moments when he goes into the captain's cabin to try and find him, and you know, the guy comes out and tries to sneak attack him and all that stuff, but he's going through there and they've got musical instruments and sheet music and all. And it's just such like a, you could tell this movie from the opposite side and it'd be a very similar movie.
Yes.
It was very cool. And on top of that, I like how it wasn't a, that final scene wasn't a kill everybody. It was, eventually they started to fly their colors, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And surrender, and they stopped.
Yeah.
Well, and can we just talk about the... it might be just me, but the hiding and then the surprise trap and all is just... I almost get chills when I watch it, when it's you know, good. Let fly and all that.
Mm, so good. And even down to the small dialogue, how the English ship calls it the Acheron.
Yeah.
And the French call it the Acheron.
Yeah.
Because they're it's how you pronounce the word.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's so good. And you hear the French screaming during the fighting. They're all screaming in French, and it's all very good French. It's so incredible.
Yeah.
I also just love in that final fight scene, you get to watch both the doctor and the captain fighting, and they're like vastly different styles of fighting.
Starkly different fighting styles.
Where, you know, Paul Bettany is over there, very like classic, you know, like one arm fencing. Yep. And,
he's a gentleman.
And then the captain is just throwing out swinging,
flash, picking up everybody else's weapons and using
yes.
them. Just yeah. up.
I kind of like
machine.
Eight elbows that would now be illegal.
Yes. No, oh, I absolutely
well,
love
okay,
that.
Okay, and can we also talk to somebody who we haven't mentioned yet who's maybe my favorite character in the film, Lord Blakeney?
Oh,
my gosh.
So awesome.
What
so
an incredible
good.
Character. From
And
just,
what a good child actor, too.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, and he's adorable.
That kid was in other shows.
So
I'm
good.
Sure.
I'm
so
sure
good.
He was. I mean, he was amazing in this. There's no way this is the only thing he did.
Off the top of your head.
No, he was incredible. His, you know, his scene at the very beginning that, you know, establishes his importance when, again, the doctor just looks at him as, like, I've never seen a braver patient.
Mm.
And I always get the feeling that was not patronizing. That was genuinely being like, you just, you didn't even ask questions.
Yeah.
You, like, you took it, you dealt with it, and it's awful. But you dealt with it, and then you never see him complaining or having a moment of, like, sadness. Like, as a kid, he was just like, I know what I signed up for.
Well, his relationship with the doctor the whole time is so amazing. And then, even in the end fight, you know, he's disappointed at first because he's not going to be on the boarding party, but then he gets told he's going to be in command mm-hmm. of the ship. And he does, he makes all the right calls.
He kills it.
And to the point of directly disobeying Captain Jack because he realizes it's what needs to happen.
He's
in that
like,
moment.
We've got to board right now. He leads the charge,
yeah.
fires a gun into this guy's face, and is incredible. Just like, get him, boys! Like,
great,
it's
yeah.
so cool. good.
It's very
That's
satisfying.
The other thing. This movie did not hesitate to kill off children.
Oh, no.
Which was,
no.
that's good. I know that sounds bad. But for time period accuracy,
yes.
they had kids on these ships.
Yeah.
And those
yeah.
kids died.
Mm-hmm.
And it sells a much more impactful story
yeah.
Than it would if they had chosen to go the Hollywood route out at that time, because not a lot of movies were doing it. A
mm-hmm.
lot of movies saw it as taboo. But it definitely sold a much more impactful story by
yeah.
having specifically, what was his name? The other kid.
Oh, it was Calamy.
Calamy,
yeah.
having him die. That was it genuinely
well,
sparks a little bit of hurt. It's
anytime
good.
That there's two characters that go, I'll see you on the other side.
You know one
yeah.
of them's
one
not
of them
gonna
is
die.
Not, one of them's gonna be on the other side.
Literally. So I was like, well, which one is it? You know?
Yeah.
So
it was also kind of shocking to see as soon as they board, a character who has had quite a bit of screen time just get plinked right in the forehead.
Yeah.
Instantly. I mean, immediately.
Yeah.
Ooh.
This
rough.
Movie has no qualms with killing off, like, fairly big characters.
Yeah, characters that you appreciate.
And, yeah.
The people you like.
I mean, it shows kind of the brutality of just warfare in general. I mean, we see... Sorry. We see, speaking of, you know, willing to kill off children, we also see them willing to show children be very violent. Because
yes.
we get... what's the friend to Nagel? I forget his name. He gets
yeah.
flogged.
Oh my! Nagel gets flogged, and then Will.
Oh, that's right.
And then Will Worley. That's the other heartbreaking
oh,
scene.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is when
oh,
the mask
yeah.
breaks because
yep.
Captain Aubrey keeps pushing too hard, and the Mr. Lamb, the bosun, keeps being like, "Dude."
The ship can't take this.
The mast cannot take this. It can't. You know, it'll be noted in the log, and then.
And then over he goes, and at first he's like, "We'll just bring him back in. It's fine. Like he'll swim to the wreckage. We'll get him in."
But the wreckage is what.
But the wreckage is starting to sink the ship, and they have to, and he has to just make that call of like, it's one person or it's like 200 people.
Yeah,
like
right.
there
yeah.
there is no you know, it's like the trolley problem, basically. And he had to make the choice right in the moment, so that it wasn't, you know, everybody. Yeah. It's like just this one person or every single person on the ship.
Right, it's a casualty of warfare. And Nagel, I mean, we see Nagel straight up get shot point blank in the chest by a child.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Just no hesitation, yeah. The kid just, bang!
Shoots him right in the chest.
So I think that's, you know, it's balanced. It's not just like, oh yeah, kids die in warfare. Like, no, kids are also required to kill. Yeah. It's brutal stuff.
And props to the combat choreographers, the fight choreographers, because it's an era where we're coming out of gentleman's warfare, mm-hmm. and into a slightly more modern variation where you're not quite as nice about killing each other.
Yeah.
So you can still see the kind of remnants where they're all standing in this big group and aiming and firing and nobody's running for cover, but they're still kind of using slightly more underhanded tactics. Really good job on their part. Super cool.
I mean, can we also talk about the camera angles? That, in my opinion, like, was like a linchpin in this movie a little bit. Because it made you really intimate with not only... Because, you know, we get the cool down shot whenever... or the upward angle shot whenever... What's his name? The guy that gets the coin put in his head. Is like...
Oh, yeah, telling, that like, guy.
Telling, like, the legend and whatnot, you know. Yeah. We get, like, you know, the moments with, like, the crew singing... The camera angles really make a lot of the intimacy and makes you really a part. I mean, it plays a big part in the combat. It's why it's so jarring and, like, you don't know what's happening and it's chaotic, which is probably exactly what they were feeling.
Well, and the cinematography in general is just gorgeous. Yeah, through beautiful. The whole film.
It's fantastic.
Beautiful!
Especially for such an early movie. I mean, being, what was it, 2003?
Yeah.
2003. I mean... That's a really big staple of cinematography right there. That movie is just incredible as far as that goes.
Yeah. And the moments of silence, they use silence really, really well as well.
So this movie got nominated for 10 Oscars. Unfortunately,
really?
It was 2003, which means Lord of the Rings Return of the King came out that year, which holds the record for the most Oscars ever won. So guess what didn't win many Oscars?
That was congrats, recommend.
However, it did win an Oscar for Best Sound Editing.
Because the sound design was brilliant. I thought it had to be something with sound. Okay. Like, wow. I thought it had to be something with sound. Like, it had to be.
Yeah.
Even just through, like, not even with the music or with the silence, but just the sounds of the ship and, you know, all of these, like, brutal sounds that I've never heard anywhere except in, like, movies about ships or, you know, things like that. But I don't know. I'm fascinated by that.
The creaking ropes. I love that it starts and ends with the same, which is just looking out over the ocean. And before the music starts and after the music ends, you just get that several seconds of just the wind blowing over the water. And it's just...
So was Pippin in two of those movies at the same time?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He was. Because
they filmed all the Lord of the Rings movies together in 99. So he had probably been done filming for a year or two when he filmed Master and Commander.
Oh yeah, I forgot they were like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, they filmed them all at the same time and then released them over the course of 3 years.
Never mind, Pippin pretty had cool. plenty of time. Sorry, but like I forgot your last name, so
Billy Boyd.
There we go. Yeah.
Well, what do you guys think critically? This is rated on Rotten Tomatoes out of 100.
It is a classic esque movie, so I'm going to say 68%.
Okay. Whoever wants to go next.
I think it's going to be higher. I think it's going to be 8.5. Times whatever makes it 85.
Wow.
10.
You're so good at this.
10.
I knew that. I'll teach you that in the name.
I'm going to say 81.
Okay.
That's where my gut is.
Percent.
As soon as you asked, my first thought was 86, so I'm going to stick with that.
Okay.
Why was that also my first thought? So I'm going to do something different. I'm going to say 79.
Okay.
So is Rotten Tomatoes critics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't know what they're talking about. Remember that.
Well, remember it's an aggregate of if it's a 3 out of 5 stars, it counts towards the percentage.
That's fair.
Okay. I'm going to say 72%.
Well, Tyler got it exactly. It's 85.
Wow.
I have ascended.
You didn't even have to use the horse method.
No.
It's because you're a naval commander.
That's right. That's exactly what it was.
I mean, your hat even says pirate on it.
That's right. I did that on purpose.
Yes, I can tell. And what do you guys think the audience score is out of 100?
Gotta be higher.
I hope it is.
I do too.
But I don't have faith in humanity. I'm going to say 72.
Okay.
I do 9.1.
91% for Tyler.
So you yes. said 91. You said 72. Okay.
They apparently don't teach math in the Naval Academy either.
No.
They don't do it.
I think it's going to be higher, but not much higher. So I'm going to say 88.
Okay.
Oh, man. You know, honestly, as much as I hope it's higher, I also don't think it's higher. I'm going to go with 81 to be generous.
Okay.
76%.
Okay.
79 again.
That time it is Colton tied with John because it's 80. Right on the money.
Let's go.
Bonus points for anybody who can tell me where the term knots come from. I know you probably can.
It comes from the actor Don Knotts, who played...
Oh my gosh.
Who played who? Say.
Yeah, he was in that show, the Andy Griffith Show.
Who did he
who
play?
Did he play?
He played Don Knotts.
Oh my gosh.
You don't know his name? I don't watch the
Barney
Andy...
Fife.
Barney Fife.
Yeah, I was about to say Barney Fife.
Fun fact for the audience, knots comes from they would tie a piece of rope to something that would float on the water. They'd tie a bunch of knots in it and throw it overboard and count how many knots would pass through their hand.
That's what they were doing.
To determine speed.
Yeah, because I saw that happen and I was like, oh, that must be what they mean when they say knots.
I'm not surprised because I knew that because that was something I did learn.
Measuring the fathoms and collecting the sediment to figure out whether they were over reefs or whether they were over just open like water or whatever.
Crazy
good attention
man.
To detail, man.
So
the
good.
Attention
nuanced.
To detail.
That is so cool.
Every little like important thing like was left like unforgotten. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they really like remembered every little thing. They're just like, we want to put this all in because we really want you to understand what it was like, what it felt like, what it looked like.
Tyler, on those YouTube videos that we love where it's like, you know, people breaking down their areas of expertise. There was a guy who was breaking down like naval movies and he was doing all the Pirates of the Caribbean films and all of those. And he was giving them, you know, like, you know, 4 out of 10, you know, 3 out of 10, whatever. And he gets Master and Commander and he's like, 10 out of 10, no notes. It's perfect.
Wow.
So good.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
That's incredible.
Well, lastly, out of 10 on IMDb, what do you guys think it is?
7.8.
Okay.
I'm going to say 8.
Okay.
For now.
You got to do the horse method.
Okay, here it comes.
Bruh. All right.
How many horses were in the movie, Tyler?
None.
There were no horses in this movie.
There are 0 horses in the film. But you know who is in the film? That's Jesus Christ, because they pray to God. God, Holy Trinity. 3. Keep that number in your head. What's my favorite number? 7. All right, 3.7. Double it. Horse method. It's a 7.4%. And not percent. You know what I mean.
7.4%. Yep.
Decades of friendship. All coming.
If he got it on the money, that means Tyler looks this up.
No.
I'm just gonna say that now. I want to put that out there before we know.
I got it right on the money earlier in this episode.
I'm gonna say it is probably. I'm going to say 7.9.
Okay.
18.
18.
8.2.
8.2.
8.2. 18. 12.
I've been cursed.
For
hanging out with Tyler.
I'm just going to do a flat out 7.
Okay.
7.0.
I already said 8.9.
Oh, okay. You must look these up.
Oh!
Tyler got it right on the money.
Wow.
He looks it up.
It's a horse
he
method.
Looks it
oh,
up.
Let's go.
He
you
has
guys
to
are
look
non-believe. Oh, I'm sorry. You guys are non-believers.
Why would we be?
Mathematically, it's impossible.
No, you're impossible. You don't have faith. You don't believe.
You get it right on the money every time you do the horse method.
But
mathematically,
but
it's impossible.
But I don't
impossible.
Do the horse Blowing method favor. Every time.
You don't look it up every time because that's too suspicious.
Somebody go into the history on his safari.
All in
I don't
want to
see that. No, we don't
want to
go into his history. We don't
want to
do that.
All right, all
that's
in favor of old yellering Tyler.
I find Master and Commander, like, rides around this book. No.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
He's clearing right now. He's clearing his cash right now.
Out of ten knots. How would you rate Master and Commander?
10 out of 10, no notes. It is my top 3 favorite movies of all time.
What's your other two? I know what one of them is.
Lord of the Rings, obviously. Of course. And then Arsenic and Old Lace.
Mm. What?
Fair.
Really? Ain't that something? John?
I mean, yeah, 10 out of 10, especially after seeing it again. There was a lot more I was able to pick up on, a lot more memorable moments. But yeah, no, I mean, rewatchability on point. I said the thing, you happy?
It does have fantastic rewatchability. I watch it every couple of years, and it never disappoints.
Whoever's next?
I would say 8.5. I feel like I have to... It's a fantastic movie. I just have to really be in the mood. For this
that
movie.
Is very yes, fair. Yes, this is not yes, like a
very
ooh
so.
Time to party and we're all gonna like you know yeah. have fun and watch this. No, this is like a serious strap in for what you're you know for yeah. what 2 hours of no nonsense naval warfare.
Yeah, so that's the only reason why I give it. So but yeah, fantastic. I mean, like I want to give it a 10 as like everybody else, but that's just. I gotta keep it equal for all the movies we watch of my standards.
That's okay. Very yeah. fair. Very fair.
This has joined the list of some of my favorite movies I've seen.
Wow.
10 out of 10.
Suck up.
10 out of 10.
Well, he has to. They're he's about to be in a car together for like 50 hours.
I'm playing the long con.
If he said anything less than 10 out of 10, I would make it miserable for him.
No. He would have played nothing but Skillet the whole way.
I can't do it, not again.
Drops you off in Illinois.
Skillet and Nickelback, and that's it.
No!
I'm going to give this movie a 9.5. Because there were a couple scenes, and this is just like a personal thing. I recognize that this is biased and it's personal. There were a couple scenes where Russell Crowe was playing the violin. But Russell Crowe was not playing the violin. some of them looked right. One or two of them, I was like, I think they taught him some real fingerings there. But that first one, when he was playing the doctor, the very first one, I was like, ooh. I was like,
press D to doubt.
Ooh, I was like, don't look at this man's fingies, because...
He's about to look up if he actually played it.
Here's why I'm looking up, because I know that they both learned their instruments, but I'm not sure
yeah.
how much was
there. Like because there is a chance that they may have played them, and it was like, ooh,
I will
and
say,
so they had to
having,
like,
having
a better version.
Having two sisters who play the violin, I do know that a lot of times it looks like they're not doing that much when it sounds like they're doing a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, that is true.
Also, sound editing is a thing.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
All right, so this was a very, very good movie. But the super...
Go.
The super... Well, I... Because y'all are going to hate on me for,
and let me
for
tell
putting
you
it
why.
At 7.5.
Tyler, let's be real here. No matter what number you give,
it's
we're going to hate on
you're
going
to hate on me. You're right. That's a good point. I didn't consider that.
10 out of 10. Wow.
You are the
album.
Wow.
Way to fold.
Yeah, great job charting your own course, Tyler.
Go on. No. Give your rating, Jonah.
Oh no!
Albatross! Albatross!
The curse left hand.
Oddly enough, same ending. And it's your fault.
No!
The celebration.
I don't know what's happening.
The pop off.
Everything's going dark, and I don't want it to. Please talk about your rating.
7.5. It was really good. It was an airtight movie, but I think I'm really heavy in the Mimi camp of like. You do have to be in a specific headspace for it, and the tens for me go to the ones that it's like, I don't care, it's this movie, I'm in, I'm all in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was, you know, it's my number, jeez.
It's wrong.
I would have to go with, for a similar reason, but I went into it knowing exactly what I was getting into, a 9.5, just because that 0.5 is the fact that I can't throw it on and watch it any time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like something that I'm like, oh, I would happily watch this, you know, like next week again and just, you know, so on and so forth. And so like for me, just for that, like I take off only half a point because it's still incredible and I really enjoyed it this time around. I think even more than the first time because I understood it better. So I'd have to go with a 9.5.
This may be just me, but where this movie falls into a camp for me is when I'm going to watch it is either when I'm showing it to my friends, people who haven't seen it, or when I get sick and I have a few days at home.
That is a
yes.
great time to watch.
And you're sick in bed with
yep.
a bowl of soup and you watch Master and Commander.
Dude, oddly enough,
that is a vibe.
Just as the parallels earlier, The Patriot is that movie for me.
Yeah.
That's what I do with The Patriot.
That's a great one for that.
Yeah.
Well, does anyone have any final thoughts before we get out of here?
The best shot in the movie, hands down, was they're all on the boat, it's night, and they're singing, and it's a jaunty tune, and it has like a happy vibe, and then there's like a quick cut, and then you hear the voices like echoing in the background, still singing the song, and then the shot is through the telescope lens of the enemy ship as they're continuing to sing the song, which is a song about like don't go sailing, like, you know, boys, like, stay home, like, home is where the heart is, like that type beat, and then it like zooms out and it's just like the telescope, and I was like, this movie's amazing. Oh my gosh, that was incredible. I had to mention that
as a final for me. The intro to the movie set the scene with the big fog cloud and then just bursts of fire.
Yeah.
Incredible.
That looked really good.
Scene.
There is a scene where the drummer started playing the drums to get everyone worked up, and I was worked up because I thought he did a great job.
Yeah. Well, again, just the whole opening scene sets, you know exactly what movie you're watching within 45 seconds of the movie starting.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, oh, I know what we're doing for the next 2 hours.
Yeah. Yes. Very, very and strap in.
Very fantastic.
We're watching the boat movie.
Any other final thoughts from anybody? All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Mad Artists Entertainment and on Twitter at @artists_mad. We have auditions. They may have already happened by the time this comes out. But we are going to be starting rehearsals on Damn Yankees very soon. So be on the lookout for more information about that. I thought you were like, and also, and no. I was like, Colton, what are you about to say? Any announcements that you have? Mimi, while we have you here, tell us just a little bit about your podcast.
Oh my God, it's happening. It's a big moment. So, I have a podcast that I've interviewed a lot of people that are in this room. So it is, what is my podcast name? Think of it. It's
what's
coming.
Mimi never told you?
Thank you. See, I don't even know because I didn't even tell myself. So yeah, What Your Mimi Never Told You on Spotify. You can find me under Mimi Never Told the letter U on Instagram. I'm on TikTok, Facebook, Twitter. I'm on so many.
I didn't prep her for this, so she's very stressed trying to plug her podcast.
But no, I've interviewed a lot of people that are sitting here today, and it's a lot of fun. And just showing, you know, humanity and the unity within us all, and also the beautiful diversity that is humanity as well. So
yes, it's very good. It's very fun and very just like into the minds of lots of different people. It's awesome. You guys should all listen to it.
Let's go Mimi's podcast.
Thank you.
And thank you guys so much for listening. Next time, we have one movie left in the hat. Russell, it is time.
The Goonies, baby!
The Goonies is
Goonies
next!
Goonies never say die.
The Goonies is the last film?
It's the last one in the hat!
And then...
That's poetic.
Tyler gets to strap in.
Because Lord of the Rings, baby.
Time, and it's been 2 years. This is the first time...
Oh, wait.
Tyler thought we were talking about something totally
I thought we
different.
Were talking about refreshing the hat, and I'm like, yeah, I got good movies, and it's like, no, Lord
no,
of the Rings.
No, you just get Lord of the Rings, not good movies.
I will not have this heresy in my house.
I didn't say they were bad.
<You're>
Where are we? Who knows?
Everywhere at the house of God.
I'm going home.
We're in country.
Maybe no, it's copyrighted.
I don't even remember what I was going to say, but it doesn't matter at this point.
You were
going to
talk about Lord of the Rings.
Movie good.
Yeah, we're doing Lord of the Rings. It's going to be cool.
Yes.
I have a whole other thing about that, but it's gone
It's
now.
Gone. We'll be doing Lord of the Rings. Listen out for it. We're doing Goonies next time. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God, help.
Stop recording.